Okay, there we go, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session for Wednesday, the 18th of June, also known as FOMC Day, which we'll discuss in just a moment. You probably won't be particularly pleased to hear that we've got significant uncertainty across these markets, and we've got a lot of mixed signals, and a lot of it is around this sort of growing escalation and conflict between Israel and Iran. Trump was in a G7 meeting and he decided to leave early. There was an expectation that there would be some sort of truce or peace deal on the table. And he seemed to just want to be an advocate of letting Iran burn, it seems, which is a strange tactic. Now, it might yield results, you know, wanting unconditional surrender from a state that has had long a conflict, verbal conflict as well, in the region against the US, with a lot of state-backed terrorist groups. So will a state like that surrender and capitulate quickly and easily, which is, I guess, what the bulldozer, which is Donald Trump, is what he's hoping for. It really seems unlikely, and the markets are beginning to reflect that with higher oil prices. We're getting a bit of strength feeding into the dollar, and certainly there's a little bit more weakness in the equity markets than perhaps, you know, these bulls would enjoy or prefer. So we do have this ongoing dynamic that's playing out, and it's making trading particularly difficult. And to be fair, there's quite a few answers that are needed, and they're not particularly forthcoming. So it's interesting to see this play out, because it's very similar to what Trump was saying to North Korea, which will turn you to dust I'm paraphrasing, but it was something to that extent. If they even, threatened the US, then that would be the consequences. And it's the problem with that as a strategy and approach is that things could escalate remarkably quickly. And we are sort of leaning into that side that things are going to escalate over the short term. Now, we very well may get that truce and that sort of surrender and peace deal put together in the not too distant future. But for now, it's only really leading to broad market uncertainty. So all eyes will begin to shift to the Fed later on today. So they're currently in 2 days of talks, and we get the outcome of those talks this afternoon. So we kind of have to split our attention between escalating conflict in the Middle East versus the Fed this evening. So let's get straight into it then. We'll, of course, start with our risk warning. So please take a brief moment to finish yourself with a risk warning currently up on screen. Now, all profitable traders need to consider, of course, which markets to trade. So we're obviously pretty dollar-centric. We have been for quite a while. Where do we then enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk? How do we manage to each trade along with trade psychology? There's a lot of education on each of these in your members area, but these are the main features of anyone's strategy. And we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, and we are strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. So let's, we've just discussed the whole sort of Middle East dynamic, which could go wrong very, very quickly. It depends on the relative compliance of Iran. The US and Israel don't want Iran to develop nuclear weapons because they're very likely to be used on the state of Israel and potentially the US. So the US and Israel don't want that to happen. But there's other things that Iran could do in terms of the Strait of Hormuz. It could impact global oil supplies, and that means inflation skyrockets. And Trump would be very, very unhappy with that. Of course, military action could just simply make these things worse. He's already said to the Ayatollah, the supreme leader of Iran, that we could take you out at any time, which I'm sure they probably could. But you're safe for now. But, you know, it's a bit of a warning, isn't it? You know, shots have been fired. So it's really going to be interesting to see how quickly Iran will actually surrender under this sort of strong arm bully boy tactics that Trump is employing. And we're just nervous that an approach like that could bring about a different result. So I guess that's pretty much where we're at. So it's also quite a big week for the central banks, with the BOJ holding rates at 0.5. And actually, I suppose the main takeaway is the fact that they're slowing down the rate at which they taper their bond buying program. So they're going to continue to slowly remove the accommodation for the economy as the Japanese economy sort of begins to normalize and we get to see the inflation that they're targeting. But they're going to do so at a slightly slower pace. So I don't know, I guess you could say you're leaning into a bit of a dovish BOJ, a bit of a slow mover. So a bit of a positive number coming out of Europe again. So that positivity continues. Big swing from the previous number and the month before that as well. So conditions are beginning to look a little bit more positive for the German economy. Now, yesterday, we got an economic indicator, which is retail sales, and they both came in and disappointed significantly. So maybe first signs of deteriorating data. Now, that impacts the Fed in two ways. is it enough for the Fed to start cutting? Because clearly some of these numbers are negative in nature. The answer is probably no, not yet. All other data is performing quite well. And there's some aspects to the retail sales dynamics which are actually quite positive under the circumstances. But the headline numbers are not great. When it comes to the FOMC and the Fed, we must always remember that there's two main kind of remits for the Fed. And the first one is unemployment. So when you start seeing unemployment numbers rally, that's the first sort of alarm bells that are ringing for the US economy. As far as the hard data is concerned, where you'd probably end up seeing, if we see a spike in unemployment, we'd probably see rates come down. Now, the other thing is growth, and that's catch 22, because one of the problems with this conflict in the Middle East is that it can bring about stagflation, which is high inflation due to higher oil prices and just broad disruption and allocation of resources into other areas. So higher prices, and you may end up seeing sort of slightly weaker growth off the back of it. And that's a difficult spot for countries. They don't want to stagnate. They don't want inflation to spike too high, and they would like to maintain their levels of growth. Now, there's certain signs of weakening growth, and there is the very significant possibility that inflation is going to start pushing upwards, especially with higher oil prices, which we'll come on to now in just a moment. So these factors really create a bit of a problem for the Fed. So I think there is a series of Fed bets being put on that the Fed will start cutting rates. We just don't think that's the case. And actually, with this conflict in the Middle East, it is less likely to be the case, we think, for now. So we know Trump is trying to put pressure on Jerome Powell, Fed chair, to actually cut rates 100 basis points to go from 4.5 to 3.5. And we should get a bit of an update on that dynamic later on today. So what we have in here now is the economic projections. We don't get this every meeting, so it'll be really important. This is the dot plot. This is the expectations for inflation from the Fed, you know, in the next couple of years. And we'll see if there's any changes in those projections. And then we'll hear from 7:30 from Jerome Powell. We will broadcast for an hour this evening at 7:30. We'll obviously be able to review the economic projections and await Jerome Powell's discussion. And it'll be really, really interesting to see the price action off the back of it. It could be quite a volatile event, and therefore may present us with some good opportunities. So all eyes are really going to broadly focus on that. Unemployment claims as well. It looks like we've shifted from 220 to 225 to basically 245 to 250. We've kind of just jumped probably the best part of 20,000 unemployment claims. And again, if we sort of stick around this level, it's no significant problem. But if we start getting above, you know, 280, 290, then, you know, these unemployment claims are more likely to lean into that weakening job number in the US. So the reason why all this is important to just be mindful of is that these are the catalysts for the next potential moves. And we want to know not just what to trade and how to trade it, but also what is the reason for the opportunity? What is the wind in our sails when we trade these markets? And that's when you're open to big, sharp, explosive moves, which is what we are. Now, we've already positioned ourselves prematurely with weakness in the indice markets. And we're still quite comfortable. We've got this sort of rollover dynamic. But what you have to do, is really zoom out, and you can see the broad indecision across these markets. So this isn't a market dynamic which fills us with any real confidence. Now, we got an opportunity to sell the Nasdaq again yesterday. Again, when you step back, we don't really have any clear view on this. It's more around this conflict in the Middle East, perhaps not playing out with complete and utter surrender from Iran this quickly after 5-6 days of conflict. And we think it's probably likely to last a little bit longer, which means near term, we're probably expecting this to be a little bit of a drag on equity rallies. Plus, we have a technical lower high, series of lower lows. So our next move for us is still to the downside for now. We mentioned earlier, oil prices were pretty close to last Friday's high now again, which is 74.67. Our expectations that we will get above those levels. And if we do, let's share this on the daily time frame. So it's important to note that we're kind of breaking out of this downward trend. And we had a bit of a pullback on Monday. So we had a big, strong rally on last Friday. It kind of pulled back and then we gapped higher. And then we had this strange day on Monday. Then yesterday we started to rally very, very aggressively. And we're looking and anticipating, really our expectations is that this is going to continue to move higher. Again, because of these tensions in the Middle East. Now, yesterday we were able to get involved on a sort of a structural breakout in the smaller time frames and place our stop loss below yesterday's low. So hopefully this will prove to be still a trade that's worth looking at. And then just looking at the S&P and the NASDAQ, it's more of a hedge trade based on what's currently happening with the fact that we don't think the Fed are going to be cutting rates later on today. So we're not sure, we don't believe really that these are dynamics in which these equity prices are going to rally in the short term. Now, could they rally tomorrow and the day after? Quite possibly, but further downside for us for now across the US indices. Now, you can see really what we're dealing with. This is the Nikkei. Oh, no, it's the Dow Jones, sorry. You can see the nature of the indecision over the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, nearly 6 weeks. We're just in this little sideways pattern. It's quite a good representation of kind of where we're at. How are these markets interacting and engaging with, you know, we're on the verge of a little bit of a breakout in the Nikkei. The DAX might find a bit of support down at these lower levels. Again, we're positioned in the US, a bit of weakness in the US. Now, could we offset that with a little bit of positivity in the Nikkei and the German DAX? You know, it's certainly a trade. It'd be more of a hedge trade, wouldn't it? So if we sell to US equity indices, and we buy European or Asian, then you're kind of putting a bit of a hedge in place. We'd probably prefer to stick with the S&P just as a strategy, stick with the S&P and the NASDAQ to the downside. And then if those trades fail to perform or we perhaps get out of them for whatever reason, then we get a buying opportunity elsewhere, we'd probably look to buy elsewhere. It wouldn't be a bad decision made around those. Okay, so we had a bit of a panic yesterday, you could say, where the dollar strengthened across the board. The risk-off trade became prominent with the dollar strengthening pretty much across the board. Again, you know, we're looking to buy these markets, so it's just... We've just got concerns about the backdrop, about this escalating tensions in the Middle East, which could get out of hand very, very quickly. And in a dynamic like that, the dollar is probably more likely to strengthen. So again, look at that for the Aussie dollar. If you want to know why we're not in more of these dollar pairs, you know, the price action kind of says it all. And then just moving over to we actually got a bit of strength yesterday, actually, in the yen as a result of this risk-off trade that was playing out, except the strongest currency yesterday was the dollar. So we have more questions than answers, I'm afraid, in these markets, with a strong bias to the upside in crude oil and a strong bias in the US indices. Now, we're still waiting for potentially a buy opportunity in markets like gold. We've pretty much done nothing for 2 days. But if we do find a bit of support, maybe around the 3,400, if we get above the 3,400, you know, we'll see if there's a buy opportunity. We would like to be buyers of gold. We're buyers of crude oil. We actually think we're likely to get a bit of weakness across the US indices. So that's our trade plan. Clearly, we need to give these markets a little bit of room. There is nothing really moving. And don't forget as well, we do look at and trade some of the world's largest, most liquid markets. So if we're struggling to see sort of decent quality opportunities and liquidity play out in a particular direction, it's going to be extra difficult elsewhere, really. So do bear that in mind. Right. So unfortunately, nothing really changes a huge amount when it comes to our trade plan. So mixed market conditions due to escalating Middle East conflict. Mixed market conditions due to escalating Middle East conflict with all eyes on FOMC. So I think first things first is we want to keep all options open. Then it's oil strength. We've actually got a move yesterday. We were able to get that pullback from Monday's strange move. Gold strength post that current pullback. So we could still add gold. The dollar is an interesting one. If in doubt, let's stay out and let's focus our attention perhaps on the commodities and what it means for the indices perhaps. So we want to keep all options open due to broad market uncertainty around Middle East conflict, Trump trade deals, Trump rates, Fed rates, the big, beautiful tax bill, which is going through the Senate. European fiscal spending is likely to be net positive for the European economy. Along with Ukraine conflict still actually escalating, it seems, in the background, but it's getting none of the attention currently. Okay, so look, I'm going to post this into the chat box. It's not a particularly sophisticated trade plan because we've got so much uncertainty right now, which I'm sure you'd probably identify with. So let's post this into the chat box there for you. And we wrap this up, guys. Those of you that can join us for the European trading session, we'll see you there in about a minute's time. So any questions, let us know. And on that note, we'll see you next time. The details there are posted into the chat box, so feel free to take today's trade plan away with you if you need. And we'll see you in the European live trade room momentarily. Right, great stuff. Thanks, everyone. Listen, take care of yourselves. Speak to you soon. My pleasure. Bye for now.